Hey, this is Steve, and this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means whatever you're going through. Say, for example, you think you don't have the gift of mercy. Mercy's just not my thing, Steve. Well, the answer is allowing God to press the good news of Jesus in your life. The good news is that even though you weren't merciful, God is merciful. Even though you lack compassion, God is transforming you into a person of compassion because that's who He is. What does all this mean and how does it work? Our youth pastor, Jason Turner, brings a really important message called Mercy Trumps Judgment.
Our family has been in the process of moving for the past few weeks, and I don't know about you if you're a parent out there, but a lot of times my default, I guess, attitude when one of my kids does something that I'm not particularly fond of or I've asked them not to do is to snap into that judgment kind of mode. I don't know, anybody in here can relate to that? Okay, you guys that aren't raising your hand are lying right now. No, I'm just kidding. My wife called a family meeting on Friday, because yesterday we got all of our stuff and we were moving it with the help of a lot of you guys, thank you, into storage. So we had a meeting on Friday, a family meeting, and I didn't really know what it was gonna be about, but my wife said that we all agreed that us as a Turner family would choose to be patient with each other on Saturday. Because I don't know, how many of you guys have ever moved before? Raise your hand if you love moving so much that you want to do it every day of your life. You're a liar, I don't believe you. So I hate moving, my wife passionately hates moving. So we knew that it was gonna be a little bit chaotic yesterday, and we kind of made an agreement that we wouldn't snap at each other and we'd try and use kind words to one another the next day, and we did the whole, you know, Turner family and hands in the middle, you know what I'm talking about. So we did that, and I tried to be really, really mindful of it yesterday when my boys were around and they were doing things that I really would not have preferred for them to do. And honey, I think I only snapped twice. That's pretty good. So I just want to share that as a way to say I think that we all need mercy. As we talk about mercy today, there's just a couple of things that I want you guys to remember as you leave here, apart from the challenge that I want to give to you. Number one is that mercy always wins. Okay? Mercy always wins. Mercy trumps judgment. Something else is that as we dig into what Jesus has to say about mercy, we'll see that mercy is really its own reward. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, we're gonna start out with, and if you guys are following along on your sheets or on your live app, that's there for you. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, that blessed are the merciful because they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Raise your hand in here if you know somebody who their life is just really marked by mercy. Yeah, you guys know anybody? I know a few people, and it seems to me that those people are the most happy people and the most content people that you'll meet anywhere, because mercy really is its own reward. I've been teaching through the book of James on Wednesday nights with our youth, and I came across this message that kind of, these verses that kind of inspired me to dig in to this topic today. It's James chapter 2, and this is on your sheet as well. James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So it says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who is not merciful, because mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's good, isn't it? Isn't that good? Aren't you glad that Jesus chose to not give us what we deserve, but chose to give us mercy? Yeah, that's awesome. We as sons and daughters of God, there should be some family resemblance, right? Look there on your fill-in sheet. God, because he has shown us such great mercy, he wants us to be agents or providers of mercy in the world. You know, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, he talked a lot about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of this present world and the kingdom of heaven. And those of us who have chosen to give our lives to Jesus Christ, who want to give God glory here in this world, God wants us to be agents, providers of mercy to all of those that we come in contact with. So what is mercy? When I say the word mercy, audience participation time.
Grace.
Grace, good. Yeah, that's a real good synonym. All right, something else.
Love.
Love, yeah, awesome. One more. Wow, all right. Forgiveness, kindness, yeah, lots and lots of great things. I modified this definition that I found a little bit, but I think this is a really good definition. It builds on everything you guys just said, but I really think when it comes down to it, mercy is giving someone what they need and not necessarily what they deserve. Mercy is giving someone what they need and not necessarily what they deserve. A life characterized by mercy. So, we've seen what is mercy. We've seen that God wants us to be providers of mercy in this world. So why show mercy? Why should you and I show mercy in the world? Well, number one, I think it's because God has shown us mercy. God has shown us mercy. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. It says, but God, so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Mercy and grace, it's only by God's grace, his mercy. He has shown us that. He has given the greatest example of his mercy toward us in Jesus Christ, his son, who from the foundation of the world knew that his path would be a path of mercy. Jesus Christ did not ask for what he needed, did not seek to serve himself, but came to show mercy to us. My daughter doesn't like, I'm just kidding. My daughter's not too happy this morning, sorry. Jesus told a great story. We see it in Matthew chapter 18, okay? Jesus was a master storyteller. He told a story about a guy who was a servant to his master, and he owed his master a huge sum of money. His master, seeing how much money he owed and just kind of processing through everything, chose to forgive all of the debt that his servant owed to him. All of it. I mean, it's a huge, huge amount of money. Man, one would think, wow, he forgave him of all that money. I know the next thing this guy is going to want to go out and do is to show mercy towards somebody else. But he didn't. Jesus says that the servant that was forgiven much, he had somebody that owed him some money too. It was a really small amount of money in comparison to what he had been forgiven. But instead of extending the same mercy he was shown, he went out and demanded that the person that owed him money pay him back for what he owed him. Matthew 18:33, the servant who was forgiven much from the master, this is what the master told him after he had found out what he had done to the person that owed him money. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I have had mercy on you? I think that might be a motivation for us. I know it's a motivation for me, since God has shown me such great mercy. Shouldn't we show mercy to those we come in contact with? Number two, God commands us to be merciful. God commands us to be merciful. If you have chosen to step in to eternal life, if you have chosen to align yourself with the king of this world, it's not really optional? After studying scripture, I pulled together a lot of verses, but one of the verses that really stands out to me is in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Here, Micah the prophet says, "O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." To do what is right, or to love justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. This is Jesus Christ rephrased this by saying we should love God and love others and make disciples. Love justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. You know, and as I dug deeper into some of the writings of the prophets, I found this great verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. And Jesus Christ actually quotes this verse twice when he's talking to some of the religious leaders of his day. And he says in Hosea that I desire mercy, not sacrifice, an acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings. Okay, so if you lived during Hosea's day, there were these sacrifices or acts of worship that you would provide to God. And God here is saying, I desire mercy more than your acts of worship. I desire mercy more than acts of worship. You know, I think Jeremiah also talks about this a little bit and promises that God will remove our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And I think here that one of the things that God is really wanting us to see is that he wants us to have a flexible heart instead of inflexible rituals. Now, it's really much easier for us to come in here on a Sunday morning and put on a smile and sing and listen to the scripture and then leave kind of the same ritual we might get into each and every day. But God says, no, I don't want it to be fake. I love your acts of worship when they come from a right heart, when they come from a heart that chooses to embody really what it means to be my child, not just on Sunday, but throughout the week and throughout your life. When Jesus Christ becomes the Lord of your life, he changes you from the inside out. So number three, the next reason we should show mercy is because you and I know this is true about me, I'll need mercy in the future. I'll need mercy in the future. James chapter 2, verse 13. James, Jesus' half-brother, says, there will be no mercy for those who have not shown mercy to others, but if you have been merciful, God will be merciful when he judges you. Let's be like our Father in worship and be merciful. Also, next fill in the blank there, showing mercy, it really brings happiness. You know, when we work at a, hold that call. Sorry. Brings happiness. You know, the Greek word that Jesus uses, markeos, when he says, blessed are the merciful, for they will bring mercy. And again, there's just certain people that seem to exude happiness because of how merciful they are. Proverbs 11:17 says it this way. Solomon wrote, "For those who are kind benefit themselves, but the cruel bring ruin on themselves." You know, when Jesus Christ gets asked by the lawyer in the story about the greatest commandment, he says, you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And when I kind of reflected on, in that phrase, we really need to learn to love ourselves rightly before we're able to love one another, because we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think when we are able to cultivate a heart of mercy, we truly know more what it's like to love our neighbor well, and in turn, to show that love to God. All right, so those are four reasons why. Now I've got seven ways that we can show mercy this week. You don't have to do all seven, but it's kind of cool that there's 7 days in a week and you could choose to do one each day. I don't know. That might be a coincidence, might not. So how do we show mercy? How do we show mercy? Because Jesus Christ wants this truth to dig down deep in our lives and to permeate everything that we think about and what we do. So first of all, be patient with people's quirks. I know you all pictured me when I said that, right? Everybody's got quirks. I heard this really good quote, and I think it's super applicable, but a good marriage is made up of two people who are really great forgivers. Because as you're married and as you spend a lot of time around someone, you'll get to notice that there are some things about that other person that probably don't sit well with you all the time. But let's look at what James chapter 3, verse 17 says. As you develop that relationship, though, I know I'm going backwards, but as you develop that relationship, as you have an opportunity to show mercy to your spouse, it really, really does become sweet and tender. It's super awesome. All right, James chapter 3, verse 17. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. You know, wisdom, as we look in the book of James, is one of those things that God has promised that he will provide us abundantly if we ask. And I know that I need more and more wisdom each and every day. And God just says, come on, just ask for it. I am right here, and I am willing to pour it out on you. All you have to do is ask. So I know I need wisdom to deal with people's quirks. I need wisdom to deal with my own quirks sometimes, but that's a different story. All right, so number two, the second way that we can show people mercy is to help others who are hurting around us. To help other people who are hurting around us. Proverbs gives us a great picture into this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 27. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to help them. You know, I think we all know people within our sphere of influence who need help. I needed help yesterday, and you guys are super awesome. And that was a real practical way that you were able to show me help. But there's people in everybody's sphere of influence who may need a word of encouragement, who may need a pat on the back or a phone call or a quick text message just to let them know that you're thinking about them and that you're caring for them. So reach out. Help anyone who's hurting around you. The next thing that we need to do to be able to show mercy is to give people a second chance. To give people a second chance. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 4 real quick. Verses 31 and 32. So Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says that get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. He tells us in verse 32, get rid of all that stuff, but instead be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. I know we have kind of this default mode, or at least I do. And when someone hurts me, when someone is offensive to me, I want to respond in one of two ways. I either want to get even or to write them off. But I know that's not what God would have us to do. And we see Paul telling us to put all those things away. There's a great quote that we'll get to after I talk about the next section. I just missed out on it before, so I want to make sure that I quote it. Next section, be kind. I'm sorry, it is. It's right here. I thought it was in there. All right, so Rick Warren, anybody ever heard of him? He's a pretty cool guy. He said this quote, and it's a really great quote. Hurt people hurt people. Okay? Hurt people hurt people. So as we see people in our sphere of influence, as we understand some of the things that they've gone through or that they're going through, we need to keep in the back of our mind that there's something or someone that caused them hurt. And whether they're drilling down deep into that now and they're just reacting out of a sense of being hurt themselves, I think that's just a good thing to remember. And it's also a good way to kind of examine our motives too. Because when some bitterness or some getting evenness, I don't think that's really a phrase, but you guys know what I mean, comes into our lives, we need to say, hey, why is that feeling there? Am I loving myself as God would have me to love me so I can love my neighbor out of the overflow of that? So give people a second chance. Do good to those who hurt you. It's your next blank there. Do good to those who hurt you. You know, again, when we look at mercy and the definition of mercy, mercy is giving people what they need, not what they deserve. And you know, oftentimes the people in our lives that are the most hurtful are the ones who need love and mercy the most. People, again, I just think back to that phrase by Rick Warren, hurt people, they lash out because that's how they have been treated in the past. And we learn a lot of wealth from that about how we should react to others in a Christ-like way. All right. Be kind to those who offend you. Next blank there. Be kind to those who offend you. I don't know about you guys, but every time I get on social media or I turn on the news, or I mean, I even make fun of it sometimes with friends of mine, there are always somebody or some group that's getting offended by something that another group does or says. Can I get a witness? Yes. Okay. Jesus Christ, okay, doesn't want us necessarily to win arguments with our opponents. Okay, that is not at all what his agenda is. Jesus Christ instead wants us to bring them to him. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, this is Paul the apostle writing to his young friend Timothy. And if you guys remember from the book of Acts, we get introduced to Paul. And at that point, Paul was persecuting believers in Jesus Christ. He was going out and he was hunting them down and having them killed. But Paul said, even though I used to blaspheme the name of Christ in my insolence, I persecuted his people. But God had mercy on me because I did it in ignorance and unbelief. And in verse 16, Paul says, God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Even the worst of sinners. Guys, God is ready and willing to show mercy to you today. Just look at the life of Paul. Look at the lives of all the people that the Bible shares with us. Man, he is ready and willing. There is nothing that you have done that has put you outside the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. The next way that we can show mercy to others this week is to build bridges of love to the unpopular. Build bridges of love to the unpopular. So Matthew, the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, he was a tax collector. It's getting around tax season. Raise your hand if you're a huge fan of those guys. Back in this day, it had a little different connotation. They were hired by the Roman government to really take money from their own people. So they were really, really not thought too well of. But Jesus Christ called Matthew to himself anyway. We see in Matthew chapter 9, Matthew's throwing a party. And he invites Jesus and his disciples, along with other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. He called them to a party. And the Pharisees, they flipped out when they heard this. The Pharisees, they were the religious leaders of Jesus' day. And then they said to the disciples, "Why does Jesus choose to eat?" Next verse, please. Sorry. I want us all of us to look at this together. "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" They had a lot of mercy in their heart, didn't they? They were all about that. But then Jesus said, when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do." You know, kind of reflecting on Jesus's quote here, you know, one of the really awesome things about the Christian walk is it begins in defeat. It begins in us realizing that we can't do it ourselves. We don't have anything within us that's able to please God. But then God, we have to realize that it's all God and it's none of us. We have to realize that we're the sick that need the great physician, that we're the sinners that need God's hope and mercy. So build bridges of love to the unpopular. So students, when you go to school tomorrow, guess what that means for you? Every school I've ever been in, there's been that table, you know, that table in the cafeteria where all the unpopular kids sit, all the lonely kids. Go over and introduce yourself. Tell them what your name is. Show mercy to them. Build bridges to the unpopular. You know, the story from the book of Matthew, a guy named Bill Hybels, he's a pastor at Willow Creek Community Church, wrote a book called Just Walk Across the Room. And it encourages people to hold these things called Matthew parties, kind of built on this example, where you invite people to your house who you know are far away from God and who need to be shown mercy. And you hang out with them. You talk about life. You talk about what's going on to build bridges of love, because love, like we talked about last week, is central to the Christian life. And a lot of times you have to love someone to yourself as a believer before they will be open up to God. You have to show them how God has changed your life radically before they'll be open to let God work in their life. So that's a great, great, great idea. Great strategy to invite lost people to be closer to God. And our last thing that you can do to show mercy is to value relationships over rules. Value relationships over rules. To choose love over law. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, that love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. You want to know a really good way to make a really religious person mad? You choose to love on somebody they don't think is worthy of it. You choose to show mercy to someone who they feel is lower than they are. That's when we really get an opportunity to share in some of the same persecution that Jesus did. Guys, because, okay, when they hung Christ to a tree, when they disagreed with what Jesus Christ had to say, it wasn't because they didn't believe him, but it was because he was showing favoritism to the people who they thought had violated the law. But love is the true fulfillment of the law. So, wow, 7 ways that you can show mercy this week. I know you might be thinking, and I was going through and kind of creating this outline here and how I was going to share this with you. Is it possible to go overboard on mercy? Can a person go overboard on mercy? You know what? Yeah, it is possible for a person to go overboard on mercy, to be all about grace. Because you know what? Jesus did. Jesus went overboard on mercy. Jesus, as he hung on the cross, his body pierced, said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing."
Hey, thank you, Jason, for bringing such an important message today about mercy instead of judgment. Mercy is part of the new nature, whereas judgment is part of the old nature. Hey, on Sunday, March the 3rd, the Orchard Church is going to have an entirely new Sunday morning schedule. Whole new schedule of 3 services instead of 2. We'll be at 8:30, 10 o'clock, and 11:30. That means that everybody is going to have to decide to attend a new service time. None of our current structure will still remain. Everybody decides on a new time, and I hope you'll decide to join us for one of our 3 services beginning Sunday, March the 3rd. I'll see you then.